I think he could have really took him. One thing I noticed tonight is the theme seems to be overcoming. Overcoming giants. Making it through circumstances and situations. And tonight, I still want to keep that theme of overcoming going. And I want to talk to you about dealing with my mess. Amen. Oh, y'all ain't excited about that, but you ought to be excited about dealing with your mess. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We ask that you now indwell me, O God. Empower me with your Holy Spirit. Move, O God, as you see fit. And most of all, God, I ask you to open our ears and help us to listen. Open our eyes, O God, for we want to see Jesus. And then, God, we pray that you'll open our hearts that we may receive him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the blessed Holy Ghost. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. That great passage, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus gave some great instruction to us on how we ought to live. When you get to chapter 7, I want to start reading at verse 1. If you can respond by saying amen when you found it. And it reads, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say unto thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye. Behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shall thy see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Amen. How many of you like mess? Nobody raised their hand. Okay, that's good. But I would dare say we do. How many times have you done something wrong? You know you was wrong. How many things in your life are wrong? And you know they're wrong, but you don't do anything about them. You don't intentionally like the mess, but you've gotten so accustomed to it being there that it becomes a part of you. Amen. I got mess. I don't know about you, but I fess up. I got mess. And the more I grow in Christ, the more he begins to show me my mess. And the more that I have to deal with my mess. But when I read this passage of scripture, it begins to talk to me about some things. And one thing it tells me is we got to be a right judge when it comes to us. You know, we can look at ourselves kind of self-righteously. We look at ourselves and we all right. Ain't nothing wrong with us. But I dare say if you ask your brother or your sister, amen. If I ask Fantasia if there's anything wrong with DJ, she would dare say, yeah, DJ got some problems. But the thing that you got, I owe to that from yesterday. But what we have to understand is this is what I want to try to illustrate to you. If I walk up to my sister and I say, let me help you. You got a little something on your eye there. Let me help you. Let me help you. Ah, daddy. Do you see it? Mm-hmm. You see it? Okay. Let me get that button. You know, I said, let stuff get on you like that. What's the problem here? I got my own issues, don't I? But I couldn't see my things, could I? If you look at verse 3 and says, "Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thine brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?" What he's saying is, how can you see other folks' mess, but you can't see yours? How can you recognize that other folk are sinning, but you can't recognize that you're sinning? How come you can see other folk going astray, but you can't see that you so far off course, you about to go to the next other side of the world? Unless you judge yourself honestly and look at yourself honestly, you will be looking at somebody else trying to deal with them, and they looking at you like, don't you see your stuff? Why are you trying to tell me about my stuff when you ain't taking care of your stuff? Let me give you an example. You got a child, and the mother means well. She says, son, I think you need to straighten up your life. Do you love the Lord? And the son says, yes, I love the Lord. And the mother says, but your actions don't tell me that. Child responds, well, I guess you don't love the Lord either, because you do wrong stuff too. What's the problem? Well, I know, take off your mother's hat for a minute and your father's hat for a minute and put them on equal ground. What's the problem? One is trying to tell the other that they've got mess, but the other one sees their mess. And the question is, how can you tell me about my mess when you got your own? Another example. Mama always tells you, clean your room. Now, what happens if mama say, clean your room, but every time they walk past mama's room, it's like, how's she going to tell me to clean my room? And is that moving? What happens is, when we try to tell people about their mess, they have a, what I call, mess gauge. When you come to somebody and you approach them, you say, there's just something wrong. Don't you see that? Your gauge automatically kicks in and it begins to scan. And it's trying to detect mess. So as you are trying to tell them about you, their stuff, they looking at you with that radar going and it's gauging you. And it says, ding, 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 mess detected. The problem is, Christ wants us to be effective witnesses. He wants us to be effective Christians. How can we be effective Christians if we got just as much mess in us as the people in the world have in them? How can we be effective witnesses for Christ if we haven't cleaned up our own act? If we're not looking and judging ourselves accurately, how can we come to them and say, my brother, you're wrong? And God knows we run into a lot of that today. Any Christian that has tried to witness on behalf of Almighty God has run into somebody saying, I don't like church folk. They're a bunch of what? It's okay to say it. Say it loud. Hypocrites. Folk in the world can see a phony. Like I said, that gauge goes off. I detect mess. Because we are looking at them, saying that there's something wrong with them, but we fail to see what's wrong with us. And that's what Jesus, when he gave that Sermon on the Mount, he said, before you start judging people, and you can't judge, he said, before you start judging people, you need to look at yourself. Examine yourself. And there are some scriptures that say, in Lamentation, it said, let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. If you examine yourself and you see there's a problem, turn to God. I don't care who you got as a friend. I don't care who's in your family. Nobody can help you like God. If you got mess in your life, turn to God. Romans 3:10 says, there is no one righteous, not even one. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. We've got to examine ourselves. And don't be phony about it. Go stand and look in the mirror and see what you see. And I would dare say some of us don't like what we see. But you got to be honest and say, I'm not all together. I got some issues. I need to get cleaned up. And not only that, but if you look at verse 4, it says, or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out thy mote, out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Not only do we look at other people's mess without seeing our own, we always want to do something about other people's stuff, but not do anything about our stuff. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Husbands and wives are notorious for this. Your wife can tell you everything you done wrong. And all the men said, amen. They scared. Wives, your husband, as he's leaving out the door, saying it on the low tone of voice, and she always messing up. And the women say, yeah, they scared too. You always want to do something about other people's stuff, but we don't want to do anything about our own stuff. We can see the world going to hell in a handbasket. But what are we going to do? Children are always messing up sometimes, seem like. And as parents, we always want to correct them. But again, sometimes they're looking at you like, wait a minute. You told me not to do it, but I saw you do it. You told me not to say it, but I heard you say it. And guess what? Children are some of the most honest people there are. That Art Linkletter show, what is it? Kids say the darndest things. The kids show up and they ask them a question. What did your parent tell you not to say? And guess what? The kid will tell. If you really want to know what's wrong with you, ask your child. They'll tell you. Can I say it without getting in trouble? Yes, you can say it without getting in trouble. You jacked up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You got a whole lot of issues. But we've got to be honest with ourselves when we do an examination of who we are and what we're about. Then we ought to be willing to do something about it. Not just do something about other people's stuff, but do something about our own stuff. Because the world is looking for some help. But the world keeps saying, if you can't deal with your own mess, how you gonna deal with mine? And one thing that I've learned is ministers are trash men or trash women or trash people, whatever you want to call it. And you looking at me like, how you saying that? Because what is the church except, now you may not like this, but the church is a big trash dump. We bring our mess to the church. A lot of times we don't come to church until we messed up. And we're looking for somebody to help us with our mess. We bring our mess to the church. And we want to dump it. Amen? I don't know about you, but I had some mess. And I realized one day nobody could help me with that mess. And I found myself at the church. And guess what? I could dump it there. I came to the altar of Almighty God and I dumped all my mess right there. I accumulated some more along the way, but that mess that was really weighing me down, I dumped it. And I left it at the church. Guess what? The minister was there to collect my mess. And as he collected my mess, he began to dust me off and wipe me up. And I felt a little bit better, but it was God working on the inside of me, cleaning me up. But because the minister was willing to take that trash and get rid of it by sharing the word of God with me, by showing me what the word says about how I ought to live and what I should be. And see, that's another thing. I think sometimes we don't like reading the word because the word will show you your mess. The word will show you where you're going wrong. And a lot of times folk don't like the word. Amen. It cuts on the left and the right. It's a two-edged sword, able to cut the bone down to the marrow. You ever been cut down to the marrow? As they say back in the hood, to the white meat? I mean, you done went past. You know, usually when you get cut, you just get red. But when you get cut show enough deep, you start seeing white too. That's what they mean. You've been cut to the white meat. The word of God will do exactly that. It will cut deep. And guess what? When it cuts deep, you can be healed. Just like mama done put a band-aid, tuck you to the doctor, you got stitches. God will stitch you right on up. And heal that wound like it never existed. I'm a living witness. But I had to take a self-examination of myself and come to the conclusion, I'm messed up. Here I am trying to tell somebody else something, and I'm messed up. I need to do something about my own stuff. I need to get myself straight. I need to find out how to fix this thing that's going wrong in me. Before I can really help somebody else, I've got to get straight. And see, that's the thing about when we talk about ministering to people. Nobody wants to come if the house is full of mess and ain't nobody taking out the trash. What happens if you let the trash accumulate in your house? I'm just going to say 3 days. Folk walk in like, it's a little old deer in here. You smell that? And if you live, sometimes, you know, to be honest, sometimes if you living in foulness long enough, you become accustomed to, I don't smell nothing. But the folk that's on the outside that are just coming in, they're like, how can you not smell that? You sure you don't smell that? No, I don't smell that. Let it stay there a week. It begins to stink. And we wonder why the world doesn't want anything to do with us. Trash has accumulated in our lives and it's beginning to stink. And the world is saying, you don't smell that? And we talking about, no, we don't. And the world says, till you get yourself cleaned up, then come back. I got to see it working for you. I've got to see the stench come off of your life before I will even try to hear what you got to say. So if you want the world to hear you, get you a good shower. The ivory spring of God. Washed in the Holy Spirit of God. So when you go out smelling fresh and clean, the world will say, wow. And as you've seen the commercial where the lady takes a little peanut and rubs it all over and she starts attracting men. I don't know how true that is, but you want to have the fragrance of God on you so that when you go out into the world, you'll attract. You'll attract. Because you got the fragrance of God on you. You've gotten cleaned up. The stench is no longer there. The fragrance of God is all over you. And as you walk through the world, people are, wow, wow. Hey, brother, come here. Man, what's that scent? That's the Holy Spirit 101. Where can I get some of that? John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What's the price? It's free. Doesn't cost you a dime. Well, how can I get it? Do you believe? Yeah, I believe. It's yours. And when they began to get cleaned up, guess what? They've got that scent on them. The key is to get as many folk in the world smelling like the fragrance of God and less like the stench of the world. And the only way that we're going to be able to do that is to deal with our own mess. Stop letting the mess accumulate in our lives. Stop allowing mess to just sit there until we become oblivious to the fact that we got mess. And realize that, yes, there's mess in my life. I need to do something about it. Point number 3 is going to verse 5. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shall thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. You mean to tell me God is saying, I'm not telling you not to deal with folk, but I'm telling you to clean yourself up or get cleaned up first before you try to deal with folk. Take your mess away before you try to deal with theirs. If I came up to my sister again with this big log in my eye, trying to help her, she's going to refuse. But if I, wait a minute. You know, you got a little something in your eye. Can you get it for me? She just seen me remove a mountain out of my eye. So whatever little thing that's bothering her, she's saying, you know what? You got the right to help me. Because you dealt with your mess. The world says you got the right to help me now because you dealt with your mess. We don't want to deal with our own stuff. And then we want to try to deal with the world's stuff. But until we deal with our own stuff, we can't deal with the world stuff. We've got to take our stuff away, get our stuff cleaned up, come out smelling like the fragrance of God, and then we can walk into the world and begin to help them. Christianity is dying for people that are willing to clean up and go out in the world and shine for God. Clean up and go out in the world and witness for him. If you want the church to grow, start cleaning yourself up. If you want the church to prosper, start cleaning yourself up. Because when the folk on your job see that you've been cleaned up, I've got to have some of that. When the folk you hang around with see that you've been cleaned up, I got to have some of that. Now, everybody may not like the fact that you're getting clean. And some folk will still try to throw dirt your way. But guess what? It's like that Teflon. It don't stick. Bounces right on. Just shake off the residue and you just keep on going. That's what God desires of us. For us to get cleaned up to the point that we can be effective members of the body of Christ. No longer are we walking around messed up, jacked up, can't help anybody, but we're now walking around being effective members of the body of Christ. Why? Because I've dealt with my own mess. And I'm here to tell you, I'm a living witness. I ain't had there's a song that's called Testimony. That's a rap group called Lyrical Biblical. And the guy comes on, he began to say, you know, man, I used to rob shorties. I was dealing in cocaine and I was doing all this. And the guy comes up and said, man, I ain't got no testimony like that. Well, neither do I, but I had some mess. I've had some issues throughout my life. And like I said, I didn't find any answers in the world. No matter what I tried, they didn't seem to solve my problem. And in a lot of cases, I was camouflaging the fact that I had problems. But then I began to say, you know what? Something ain't right about me. Is it just me? And you know how sometimes you can go through relationships and you can't keep nobody? And you always saying there's something wrong with them. Maybe there's something wrong with you. Clean it up. Then go back out. And folk will come. Because you dealt with your own mess. Christ is desiring for us to deal with the stuff that's in our lives that are not like him. The stuff that's in our lives that's calling us to have a stench. He wants us to deal with it. So that we'll come out with the fragrance of Almighty God on us. And as we come out with the fragrance of God on us, we'll go out into the world and attract people because they smell something different on us. It's not the same old smell that they've always smelled. It's a different smell. People can tell when they really have turned into or changed and come into somebody that is truly a child of God. People can tell. If you out in the street and you phony, they can tell. If you real, they can tell. If you real, they'll give you an opportunity because they know you for real. If you phony, they looking to give you excuses. They looking to get you out of their face because I see mess all over you. I got my own mess. I ain't got time to be dealing with yours and mine. So you go take care of your mess and I'll go take care of mine. But when you've already dealt with your mess, and one of the greatest testimonies is when you go back to those same folk that you used to hang out and do your dirt with, and they see you cleaned up now, and they start looking at you like, you know, how you, what's up, man? How you living now? Look good. What's up? Nothing, man. Just loving the Lord, that's all. Wow, you know, I remember when you, and your folk always try to remind you, don't they? You know, I remember when you used to. I don't do that no more. I remember when the mess was all over you. Not anymore. I remember you couldn't wait to jump in a pool of mess. Not anymore. I'm leaving the mess behind. I'm going on with Christ. I'm going on to whatever he has in store for me. I've gotten cleaned up. Don't go back and waddle in the mud again. It's just like a pig. You can take a pig and wash him up. And if he find a mud hole, he go right back to that mud hole and get all muddied up again. And we sometimes as Christians do the same thing. We get a little clean in our life and we go right back to that mud hole and get muddied up all over again. Then we have to get cleaned up again. The key is to stay out of the shower. I know it don't right in the natural world, but in the spiritual world, stay out of the shower. You don't want to keep going to get cleaned up over and over and over and over and over again. try to stay clean as long as possible. You remember the days when you, well, back when I would come, you had your school clothes and your play clothes. Mama was trying to keep those school clothes clean as long as possible. So when you come home, you take them off. Stay clean as long as you can by not sinning, by not falling short. Now, we do it, but the longer you can go by examining yourself, what you say, examine what you do, examine what you think, examine what you allow your eyes to see and your ears to hear. If you live a life doing that, you'll have less mess coming your way. But the longer you just let anything come and anything get on you, more mess will come. But the more you examine yourself, the more you search yourself, and then when you're willing to do something about it, not just let the mess come and stick to you, but do something about it. Amen? And I guarantee all of us are sitting here right now thinking about something I need to clean up, something I need to straighten out, something I need to do. That's okay. That's what it's all about. You know, it amazes me that folk come to church, they hear the word, and they walk out the door, and that's it. And I know you are some astute folk, and you've already been told and taught. You hear the word, you receive the word, you take the word, and you apply the word. I'm asking you to hear the word, take the word, and apply the word. Clean up. And I'm not just saying that all y'all dirty, I'm dirty too. Clean up. And as you clean up, watch what God can do with you. Watch what kind of witness he can make you. Watch what kind of folk will come your way, because you've got the sweet smell of God all over you now. Watch what God can do with you if you will just allow yourself to be cleaned up. I don't just want you to hear me tonight. I want you to feel me. Do you feel me? This is a for real thing. I know Pastor Don doesn't play. He believes in teaching the word, and he believes in teaching it correctly, and he believes in teaching it to you so, as he calls it, you have a takeaway. Your takeaway tonight. Don't allow mess to accumulate in your life. I don't care what shape, form, or fashion it comes in. Don't allow it to accumulate. Mess comes, you take care of it, you deal with it right away. It causes you less headaches to take the trash out when it's only a small bag. But if you let it sit there 3 and 4 months, it becomes a headache, because you've got more. And trash bags have a tendency, as over time, when you allow all those juices and stuff to accumulate, they tear and they rip. And guess what? The mess spreads. Now you've got a bigger mess to clean up because you didn't deal with it when it was small. I urge you. I beg you. Feel me tonight. Deal with my mess. Deal with my mess. I want everybody to say it with me. No, don't be scared. You got the mess. You see, I'm not feeling that. I'm gonna deal with my mess. No, I'm going to deal with my mess. Not her mess, my mess. Not his mess, but my mess. But Jesus didn't say you couldn't deal with other people's mess, but he said make sure you deal with your own mess first. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We ask your blessings, O God, upon us, and we thank you, God, for being the one that will clean us up. We ask, O God, tonight that you'll clean our hearts, clean our minds, clean our spirits. God, just clean us through and through. We want to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. We want to walk in holiness and purity, O God. And God, we want to strive for perfection. We want to be all that you've called us to be, oh God, but we know that we've got to deal with the mess that comes our way. So I pray, God, that you will help us to examine ourselves. Help us to be honest in our examination. And then, God, to help us to move to the point that we're going to do something about the mess that's in our lives. And then, God, we pray that as we're being cleaned up and as we are being transformed, that your Holy Spirit will send folk our way, that they will be able to help them to come out of the mess that they're in. We praise you tonight. We glorify you tonight. We honor you tonight, oh God. And in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.